Welcome to the second hour's reading of the Midland Reporter-Telegram and the Odessa American. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand at recordinglibrary.org.
Good morning. This is Kim, and I am reading the Odessa American. Today's date is Tuesday, September 27th. Landgraf Mirror Site Regional Needs. State representatives say property tax relief tops 2023 legislative priorities. A seldom mentioned but potent part of the Texas House of Representatives in Austin is the West Texas delegation, whose number one priority is the 88th legislative session. Next year will be property tax relief, according to Republican state representatives Brooks Landgraf of Odessa and Andy Muir of Junction. Landgraf says this year's massive influx of oil and natural gas severance tax revenues has built the biggest surplus in state history, $27 billion, and the 16-member delegation will force a substantial return of that money to the region most of it came from. I'll be fighting alongside my fellow West Texas legislators to make sure we get our fair share of that money for the people of West Texas, and that we give as much of it back to the taxpayers as possible. Landgraf said last Wednesday, "We are committed to making sure they get some of the money back in genuine property tax relief. That's being discussed more than anything at this point." The West Texas delegation represents less than 10% of the state's population, but the region accounts for 70% of the oil and tax severance tax collection. Landgraf said those collections have amounted to $10.8 billion this fiscal year, with $2.4 billion being marked for public education, $3.6 billion for the State Highway Fund, and the rest for the Texas Rainy Day Fund. He said there's a good chance Midland Representative Tom Craddock's Grow Texas bill will finally become law after snagging in the Senate during the past two biennial sessions. Craddock's bill would send a percentage of the Rainy Day Fund to the state's oil and gas producing counties each year for health, schools, and roads. It's one strategy we can use to get West Texas its share of state resources, Landgraf said. In addition to having support in the House, there is more support now for Grow Texas in the Senate. The House's current balance is 85 Republicans to 65 Democrats, and the bill got strong bipartisan support in 2021. Landgraf was asked if West Texas lawmakers exert disproportionate influence because they often hold their seats much longer than metropolitan representatives. What we lack in numbers, we make up for in level-headedness, common sense, and good institutional understanding of the way things work, said Landgraf, an attorney who represents Winkler, Ward, Loving, and Ector counties in the 81st District. Time has a lot to do with it, along with being open to learning the lessons that are taught to you. As a recent example of how we work together, the new redistricting maps during the special session in the summer of 2021 show that West Texas as a region did not keep pace with population growth compared to the metro parts of the state. That relatively slow growth led many to predict that West Texas would lose up to three seats in the House. But we worked as a delegation to make sure our voices were not dismissed, and we put together a plan that compiled with all applicable laws related to the redistricting process. We worked cohesively to make sure the people of West Texas continue to have a voice, and we did not lose any seats as a result. With Landgraf and Craddock, the West Texas delegation includes Democrat Eddie Morales of Eagle Pass and Republicans Drew Darby of San Angelo, Stan Lambert of Abilene, John Smithy and Four Price of Amarillo, Ken King of Canadian, Glenn Rogers of Palo Pinto, Mike Lang of Granbury, Brad Buckley of Salado, Dustin Burrows of Lubbock, David Spiller of Jacksboro, James Frank of Wichita Falls and Murr. Junction is 227 miles east-southeast of Odessa. Carl Tepper is the GOP nominee for Lubbock's other state representative seat in the November 8th election. Murr, an attorney and rancher who represents District 53, said property tax relief is more important than ever when paired with the ever-increasing inflation we see today. There are a number of pathways for addressing this issue, like using surplus state funds to buy down property taxes, broadening the tax base, or setting a ceiling on school taxes, Murr said Friday. I've filed legislation in previous sessions, including legislation abolishing maintenance and operations taxes for local school districts and replacing that revenue through other means. Abolishment of these taxes would cut tax bills in half for most property owners. Murr excoriated what he called the federal government's open borders policy. Many of our delegation have seen firsthand the Fed's failure to secure our southern border and understand the need to take action to protect our communities from the effects of illegal immigration and the crime that's occurring due to the open border policies, he said. Murr said there are also big needs for better rural health care options with more broadband telemedicine and increased funding for rural hospitals. Reliable internet and broadband access is an ongoing issue in West Texas, and in my district in particular, he said, stronger broadband and cell service is vital, not only for our schools, students, and businesses, but also for emergency response needs. West Texas has a number of geographical and natural resource challenges that we need to manage. These include ensuring good stewardship of our unique landscape and protecting and strengthening our water sources, working with Texas Parks and Wildlife and the Texas Commission on Environmental Quality, Murr said. He also wants to work on legislation that protects the state's natural resources while addressing industries like aggregate production, rock crushing, and quarry activity. We need to effectively balance the need for development and progress with maintaining what makes West Texas so special, Murr said. Quick Hits Hunger Action Month. United Supermarkets and Market Street will be holding a fundraiser for the West Texas Food Bank for Hunger Action Month. Customers can donate $10 at the register, and that will go toward a full grocery bag with pasta sauce, salad, and bread for a family in need. United and Market Street will donate ground beef to the first 100 bags. This fundraiser will end September 30th. Hispanic Heritage Month presentation. The Midland College Business and Economics Development Center has scheduled a special presentation by local restaurant owners Nemesio Torres and Javier Vales of Cancun Bar and Grill from 9 a.m. to 10 a.m. today at the Scarborough Student Center Carrasco Room, 3600 North Garfield Street, Midland. Torres and Vales will discuss their journey to success as immigrants and how they achieve the American dream. The presentation will be moderated by MC President Steve Thomas. The event is free. Visit tinyurl.com/2P8C58B8. Intro to QuickBooks. America's SBDC has scheduled an Intro to QuickBooks workshop from noon to 3 p.m. today in the second floor multipurpose room in the Mesa building at UTPB, 4901 East University Boulevard. Learn how to use QuickBooks online for payroll, products and services, vendors and expenses, and sales transactions. A box lunch will be provided. Admission is free. Registration is required. To register or for more information, visit tinyurl.com/24FZV3NN. Free blood pressure and glucose screenings. The Medical Center, Hospital Family Health Clinic, West University, 6030 West University Boulevard, has scheduled a free blood pressure and glucose screening from 3 p.m. to 5 p.m. each Tuesday through December 27th. Visit tinyurl.com/2YVKB55C. Superhero Coding Challenge. The Ector County Library, 321 West 5th Street, has scheduled Superhero Coding Challenge from 5 p.m. to 6:30 p.m. today in the Children's Department. Use basic computer coding concepts to navigate the superhero to the end of the maze. No computer required. For more information, call 432-332-0633 or visit ector.lib.tx.us. Local News Roundup. Woman injured during dumpster diving. A 47-year-old Odessa woman hurt her head and back Monday after she ended up in the back of a garbage truck while dumpster diving, according to an Odessa Police Department report. The woman was digging through a dumpster around 6 a.m. in the 500 block of West 42nd Street when a garbage truck came and picked up the dumpster. She wasn't discovered for 2 hours. Odessa Fire Rescue Chief John Alvarez said the injuries were minor. Her experience caused a stir on Facebook when someone erroneously reported a body had been found in a dumpster at the landfill. OPD would like to remind citizens that city ordinances make it illegal to dumpster dive. Roommate quarrel leads to arrest. A West Odessa man was arrested Friday after his roommate accused him of bashing him in the face with a glass bowl during an argument. According to Ector County Sheriff's Office report, deputies received a 911 call around 7:30 p.m. Friday about an assault in the 3000 block of North Star Avenue. When they arrived, a 66-year-old man told them his roommate, Hai Nguyen, 51, hit him in the face with the bowl Nguyen had been eating out of during an argument over the removal of a vehicle on their property. The report stated deputies saw a 2-inch gash on the man's face. Nguyen told deputies the older man had pushed him and he hit him in the self-defense when he swung at him. A witness, however, told the deputies the older man never touched Nguyen, according to the report. He further stated Nguyen laid on top of the older man and hit him at least 5 times in the body and head after he hit him with the bowl. Nguyen was arrested on suspicion of injury to an elderly person, a Class 3 felony punishable by a prison sentence of 2 to 10 years. He remained in the Ector County Jail as of Monday afternoon on a $10,000 surety bond. Online Ector County District Court records indicate Nguyen is already awaiting trial on 2 separate cases, one involving marijuana and the other cocaine. Ignoring red light leads to arrest. A driver who ignored a red light wound up being arrested on felony drug charges Saturday morning. According to a Texas Department of Public Safety report, a trooper saw Patrick Marcus Bourgeois, 31, disregard the red light at Texas Spur 588 and Business Interstate 20 around 7:30 a.m. Saturday and pulled him over. When the trooper approached the pickup truck, Bourgeois was acting nervous, looking frantically around the truck, and denied having a gun even though another trooper had already seen it. Their report stated, during a subsequent search of the car, troopers found a .357 Magnum revolver, 54 cartridges holding 1 gram each of THC, the active ingredient in marijuana, plus 6 plastic containers with various amounts of marijuana. According to the report, Bourgeois told the trooper he was expecting to be paid $200 for driving the drugs from Monahans to Dallas, the report stated. Bourgeois was arrested on suspicion of delivery of a controlled substance, more than 4 grams, less than 400 grams, delivery of marijuana, more than 1/2 ounce, less than 5 pounds, and unlawfully carrying a weapon. The controlled substance charge, the most serious charge, is a Class 1 felony, punishable by a prison term of 5 years to life. He was released from the Ector County Jail Sunday after posting surety bonds totaling $33,500. Man accused of aggravated assault. A Katy man was arrested late Friday night after 4 out-of-towners accused him of pointing a gun at them and firing off 2 rounds. According to an Odessa Police Department report, officers received a 911 call about a man with a gun from the Sleep Inn and Suites on East Highway 80 around 10:15 p.m. Friday. When officers arrived, four men, ages 21 to 32, told them they'd gotten into an argument with a stranger in the parking lot of the hotel, who pointed a gun at them and later fired it twice, causing them to fear for their lives, the report stated. Officers found two shell casings in the parking lot, the report stated. Officers identified Luis Antonio Menchaca, 28, as the suspect, and he agreed to leave his motel room and meet them in the lobby. According to the report, Menchaca invoked his right not to speak with the officers, but when they searched his room, they found a 6-hour P320 40 caliber pistol inside, the report stated. Menchaca was booked into the Ector County Jail on suspicion of four counts of aggravated assault with a deadly weapon, a Class 2 felony punishable by a prison sentence of 2 to 20 years. He remained in the jail as of Monday afternoon on surety bonds totaling $100,000. Police say transient swiped 9mm gun. An ex-convict who isn't allowed to possess firearms was arrested Thursday morning after employees of a pawn shop told police she stole a Smith & Wesson from their store. According to an Odessa Police Department report, employees of Big Tech's pawn shop on Northwest County Road called 911 around 10:20 a.m. Thursday about the theft. When officers arrived, they saw Alexandria Snowden, 25, on surveillance video looking at the 9mm gun and then running out the door with it, the report stated. Officers learned during their investigation Snowden had been sent to prison 6 years ago, and the GMC Acadia she'd driven to the pawn shop had been reported stolen by an Ector County resident, according to the report. While they were still investigating, officers learned Snowden was in the 600 block of East Pearl, and when they arrived, she began running through a field. Officers caught up with her and arrested her on suspicion of unlawfully carrying of a weapon, unauthorized use of a motor vehicle, evading arrest with previous convictions for evading arrest, and theft of a firearm. The unlawful carrying charge is a Class 2 felony punishable by a prison term of 2 to 20 years, and the other charges are state jail felonies punishable by a prison sentence of 6 months to 2 years. Snowden, a transient, remained in the Ector County Jail Monday on surety bonds totaling $42,000. She was also being held by the U.S. Marshals Service. Online, Ector County District Court records indicate Snowden was given 4 years in prison in November 2016 for possession of a controlled substance, cocaine. Odessan, accused of intoxication assault. An Odessa man was arrested Sunday morning on suspicion of intoxication assault following a two-vehicle crash that sent one person to the hospital with serious injuries. According to a Texas Department of Public Safety report, troopers learned of the crash at FM 3472 and Avenue D around 12:15 a.m. During the course of their investigation, they determined that Cody Morales, 29, was driving a Ford F-250 pickup truck on the wrong side of the road and collided with a Nissan SUV in the eastbound lanes of FM 3472. Troopers smelled alcohol on Morales' breath, saw he had glassy, bloodshot eyes, and was swaying as he talked to them. According to the report, Morales failed field sobriety test and he blew .165 and .173 on an intoxilizer at the Ector County Jail, the report stated. The troopers also drew blood from Morales to send to a crime lab. Morales was released from the Ector County Jail later Sunday after posting a $10,000 surety bond. Intoxication assault with a vehicle causing bodily injury is a Class 3 felony punishable by 2 to 10 years in prison. Man accused of assaulting OPD officer. An Odessa police officer investigating a minor accident early Saturday morning ended up being assaulted by a drunk man, according to an OPD report. According to the report, officers were dispatched to the accident in the 100 block of Pronto Street around 4:45 a.m. Saturday, and when they arrived, they found a GMC Acadia parked on top of a dirt mound and Mario Ramos, 29, sitting in the back seat with a license plate in one hand and a Truly hard seltzer in the other. Ramos, who had bloodshot red eyes, refused an officer's commands once he got out of the SUV. The report stated, he rolled up his sleeves and charged at the 29-year-old officer with both hands clenched and began punching him, according to the report. Ramos was arrested on suspicion of assault of a police officer and public intoxication, which is a misdemeanor. The assault is a Class 2 felony, punishable by 2 to 20 years in prison. Ramos was released from the Ector County Jail Monday after posting a $25,000 surety bond. Traffic stop leads to arrests. A traffic infraction has led to another indictment for two Odessans already facing drug charges. According to an Odessa Police Department report, officers saw Marva Neal, 39, stray out of her lane while driving west in the 100 block of West Clements Avenue around 3:30 p.m. June 22nd. They then watched her stop in an alley in the 1300 block of South Grant Avenue near Travis Elementary School, a drug-free zone. Officers found a methamphetamine pipe and 3.5 grams of methamphetamine in the truck that Neal admits was hers, according to the report. While looking through Neal's phones, officers found messages between Neal and her passenger, David Alonso Garza, 33, indicating they were conducting drug transactions, the report stated. Officers found 3 grams of cocaine in Garza's pockets, along with just over $3,000 in cash, the report stated. According to online Ector County District Court records, Neal was already awaiting trial for a possession of a controlled substance, methamphetamine, charge, stemming from an August 2021 arrest, and Garza was awaiting trial for a misdemeanor marijuana charge. Last week, Neal was indicted in connection with the June event for possession of a controlled substance, more than 4 grams, less than 200 grams. She was arrested Wednesday on that charge and on warrants pertaining to another case in which she's charged with fraudulent use or possession of ID information, fraudulent use or possession of credit card information, and delivery of methamphetamine in a drug-free zone. Neal remained in the Ector County Jail on bonds totaling $218,000. Garza was indicted last week on 2 counts of possession of a controlled substance, one in connection with the June event, but the other pertains to a July incident. He was released from the Ector County Jail after posting bonds totaling $105,000. The Ector County District Attorney's Office has filed paperwork asking a judge to force Garza to forfeit the $305 seized that day. While chase ends with stolen van breaking down, a 27-year-old man who has been sent to prison twice for evading arrest with vehicles and who was wanted for allegedly violating his parole led Ector County Sheriff's deputies on a chase Sunday in a stolen van that only ended when the van broke down, according to an ECSO report. Deputies tried to stop a Ford van around 4:45 a.m. Sunday near West 82nd Street and North Golder Avenue because it had been reported stolen in unincorporated Ector County. The driver of the van, later identified as Ricky Savage Lewis, refused to stop for deputies and continued to try to evade them, the report stated. When the van broke down on Elise Road off Highway 554 in Gardendale, deputies took Lewis into custody at gunpoint, according to the report. Deputies discovered that the Texas Department of Pardons and Parole had issued a warrant for Lewis's arrest on September 13. According to Texas Department of Corrections and Ector County District Court records, Lewis was sentenced to 3 years in prison on March 20, 2019 for evading arrest with a vehicle and released after 1 year. He was sentenced to 5 years in prison October 23, 2020 after being convicted of committing the same crime again and released July 20. Lewis remains in the Ector County Jail on the parole violation warrant and on suspicion of evading arrest with a vehicle and unauthorized use of a vehicle. The bond in his new case totals $12,500. Odessa arrested on suspicion of criminal mischief. An Odessa police officer arrested a 60-year-old man around noon Sunday after a local woman called 911 to say she saw a vandal at her house and the officer reported catching the man in the act. According to an Odessa Police Department report, the alleged victim was out of town Sunday but saw someone damaging a window at her house in the 6200 block of Riders Road and her Chevrolet Explorer van. When the officer arrived, he saw a man later identified as Ernest Avalos swinging an object and breaking several windows. The report stated Avalos was visibly upset and while he was swinging away, stated he was getting even with the homeowners for ruining his life. The officer wrote, the officer discovered six windows and frames had been damaged on the front of the house. A bag of grass seed had been poured into an air conditioning unit. Fall decor had been damaged and the side view mirror on the van had been broken off, the report stated. All told, the damage was estimated at more than $2,500, according to the report. Avalos was arrested on suspicion of criminal mischief, a state jail felony punishable by 6 months to 2 years in jail. Avalos remained in the Ector County Jail Monday evening on a $4,000 surety bond. Jail records show Avalos was arrested in early August on a criminal trespass charge and was released on his own recognizance. Ector County court records showed he was accused of entering the 10-4 lounge after being told he wasn't allowed to. He's scheduled to be arraigned in that case October 5th. Today's obituaries for September 27th. Dorothea Jean Lady Dot Forehand Hicks Howell, age 89, passed from this life Saturday, September 24th, in Midland. Dorothea was born on May 24th, 1933, to Burgess and May Forehand in Haskell, Texas. She married Leroy Hicks on July 15th, 1950, and enjoyed 43 years of marriage until his death. Dorothea married James Howell on November 25th, 1996, until his death on August 7th, 2021. Survivors include four sons, Larry Hicks of Georgetown, Terry Hicks and wife Becky of Bryan, Gary Hicks and wife Vicki of Lubbock, Jerry Hicks and wife Lynn of Odessa, stepchildren, Debbie Wheeler, Paul of Lubbock, Van Howell, Ronell of Lubbock, and Nancy Crow, Kenny of Abilene, one brother, Chet Forehand of Haskell, along with 10 grandchildren, 6 step-grandchildren, and numerous great-grandchildren. She is preceded in death by her parents, Burgess and May Forehand of Wynert, 2 brothers, Grandel Forehand of Lakes of the Pines and Randall Forehand of Aurora, Colorado, daughter-in-law Brenda Hicks of Georgetown, and great-granddaughter Hollis Ellum. The family wishes to thank Darlene Elders and Yolanda Paz for the love and special care they provided for our mom the past several years. Visitation for Dorothea Jean Forehand Hicks Howell will be held at Sunset Memorial Funeral Home in Odessa on Wednesday, September 28th from 5 to 7 p.m. Graveside service will be held at 1:30 p.m. Thursday, September 29th at Willow Cemetery in Haskell, Texas, with John Snyder officiating. Prior to the graveside service, a viewing will be held from 12:30 p.m. to 1:15 p.m. Arrangements are entrusted to Sunset Memorial Gardens and Funeral Home. To send condolences to the family, please sign her guestbook at www.sunsetodessa.com. Mickey Jackson, 80, died Monday, September 26th in Odessa. Services are pending with American Heritage Cemetery Funeral Home Crematory of Midland. Phyllis Capadonna Short, 74, of Midland, died Friday, September 23rd in Midland. Memorial service is scheduled for 10 a.m. September 30th at First Baptist Church of Midland. Arrangements are by Nellie Pickle and Welch Funeral Home and Crematory of Midland. Alcohol incites face flushing and anxiety. Dear Dr. Roach, I am a 76-year-old man in excellent health. I don't take any medications except for simvastatin for over 15 years. My cholesterol is now below 200, but a problem started about 8 months ago. When sitting with friends, I'll have my first drink of beer. Within a minute, my face gets bright red, and I get a feeling of anxiety. It goes away in a few minutes and does not return. If I have a sip, it still returns, just not as severe. It happens every time. I told my primary care physician about this in May at my annual physical, but he had no answer. He didn't seem too concerned. What do you think about this? Should I worry? WD. Answer, the medical term for the face turning red, usually accompanied by a sensation of warmth, is called flushing. The face is the most common location, but some people will get flushing on their ears, neck, chest, torso, or arms. The sudden onset you describe makes flushing the diagnosis rather than any other cause of facial rash, such as lupus or photosensitivity rash. Alcohol alone can cause many people to flush, but since this just started within the year, I think there is something else going on. By far, I think the most likely diagnosis is rosacea, which usually happens to people in their 60s. Alcohol is a potent trigger for flushing in people with rosacea. A careful skin exam would be likely to prove or disprove my suspected diagnosis, and a dermatologist would be the ideal choice. You might even consider bringing in a beer to demonstrate the effect to the doctor. Although there are some worrisome causes of facial flushing, such as carcinoid syndrome and phenochromocytoma, both caused by tumors that secrete substances that make blood vessels dilate, the association with alcohol makes rosacea the likely diagnosis.
This is the Dear Abby column. Man can't get his wife to church on time. Dear Abby, punctuality is important to me. My husband has many great qualities, but punctuality is not one of them. We have been married 20-plus years, and after many discussions have not been able to come to agreement on this. We are late to church almost every Sunday, and to most parties and family events. I think it's rude to keep people waiting, and it gives me anxiety. I have tried taking separate cars, but think, as a couple, we should arrive together. It seems like when I try to urge him to hurry, he purposely slows down. It has reached the point where we are angry at each other by the time we finally arrive anywhere. Any advice? Signed, Hare, married to Tortoise. Dear Hare, yes, take the separate cars. No one cares whether you arrive together or not, unless you are going to a dinner party. And if your husband will be late for that, assure your hosts that it isn't necessary to wait for him to arrive. To the extent you can, try fudging the event time. But until he suffers the consequences, his behavior will not change. Dear Abby, my fiancé has been married twice and insists on maintaining contact with four prior sexual partners other than husbands. Most of the contact is by Facebook, instant message, and cell phone. But one former partner is a high school classmate she sees every year at class get-togethers. I think what she's doing is inappropriate, and will certainly be so after we are married. She insists they are just friends, and I am being immature and untrusting. She's adamant that she is unwilling to cease contact with these former sexual partners, now friends, under any circumstances. What's a guy to do? Signed, Crowded in Florida. Dear Crowded, a guy either accepts what his fiancé is telling him, that these old flames are just friends now, or he terminates the engagement and starts searching for a woman he believes he can trust. Dear Abby, my husband and I have been good friends with another couple for more than a decade. The wife has a degenerative illness and is now paralyzed and unable to feed herself. We would love to stay close with them while recognizing the problems they face in planning meetings. Now, at our infrequent get-togethers, it always ends with, "We should get together." But then no plans are realized. I know there's an intense pressure on the husband between work, care of their teenage child, and health care for his wife. How can we tactfully stay in touch and, at the same time, relieve some of the pressure on the husband? I'd love to set up a bi-monthly coffee or lunch, but I realize some days the wife may not be up for it. Signed, Good Friend in Maryland. Dear friend, you are a good friend and a caring one. Every caregiver needs an occasional break so he or she can recharge. It would be a kindness to call him and offer to be with his wife for a few hours so he can spend some time doing things for himself that he may have postponed. I can't promise that he'll take you up on it, but he may. You can write to Dear Abby at dearabby.com or P.O. Box 69440, Los Angeles, California, 90069. Her column is distributed by Universal Press Syndicate.
Thank you for joining us for the readings of the Midland Reporter-Telegram and the Odessa American. This is the Recording Library of West Texas, enriching the lives of individuals with physical, visual, and learning disabilities since 1963. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand with your computer or favorite mobile device at recordinglibrary.org.